This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek. I'm Dean Beck and this is the show where we explore sex, sexuality and self. Tonight, I'm joined by Andrew the Apprentice. Welcome.
Good evening, Dean.
What a show we have for you tonight.
I know. One of the most fun things here on Hide and Seek, on Joy, is when we get little nuggets of interest from the community.
When they reach out to us.
When they reach out to us, exactly. Yeah. And tonight is one of those occasions.
Yes, it is.
A couple of weeks ago, we received an email.
We did. And it was about paraphilic infantilism.
Yes. They didn't use those words, though.
No.
No, but somebody in the community has reached out to us and asked us to talk about adult babies.
And we have another friend with us tonight as well who's talking about diaper loving.
That's right.
Who likes to wear diapers.
So, in what? How long have you been doing this show now? 8 years?
I've been doing it for 8 years, yeah.
8 years. I've been here for about 6 years. And
never
have we discussed this topic before.
And in the space of a couple of weeks, we had two of them.
There we go.
Well, one each.
One each.
Which is not to confuse them.
No, they are two different things.
Although it comes under the same head. We'll get into that a little later. There's the term paraphilic infantilism is an overarching terminology for this particular fetish, just like any other fetish.
Exactly.
But not to be confused in any way, shape or form, we should say from the outset.
Yes.
With the pedophilia, because that's completely something else.
Nothing to do with this.
Nothing to do with this. So it'll be fascinating.
Yes.
So I can't wait.
It's going to be an exciting show. So, yes, we'll be getting into that very shortly.
It's a fairly rare fetish.
Well, is it?
Well, we'll find out. There's not a lot of research on it. But first, we should check out what is happening in the news. Would you like to win $1,000? Well, who wouldn't? There is a photographic competition about to take place where you could be the lucky winner of $1,000. Now, Brent Allen is the Executive Officer of Living Positive Victoria. He joins us to explain what this competition is all about. Brent, welcome.
Hello, Dean. A pleasure to be here.
Brent, the Enough campaign's been going for quite some time. What's this photographic competition all about?
Well, this is the latest addition to the campaign. It's generously funded by the City of Melbourne. What we're trying to do is encourage people living with HIV to show us what makes them a resilient person. So in the face of HIV stigma, what is it that makes you feel proud, makes you feel on top of your life? And we're offering prizes. The first prize is $1,000, and then their second and third prize as well.
Yeah, $500 for second prize, $250 for third. It's not a bad prize. Now, the sorts of images that you're conjuring up, is there any preconceived ideas, or are you open to whatever comes up?
Open to whatever. It is important that people understand that when they're submitting their photo, it will go on public display.
That is important.
The lewd and graphic possibly won't go up on display, but really be cautious and careful if you're going to be taking pictures of yourself, your mate, and you don't want people to see you.
Right, fair enough. But the message, I guess, is about resilience. It's about being able to stand up in the face of stigma, really.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things we know is that the more resilient you are, and resilience isn't something that's kept in a bottle and it's the same level throughout your life. It ebbs and flows. But what we're trying to do is show other people what are some of their strategies to remain a resilient person.
You have the potential to get quite a collection of really great imagery here.
Absolutely. And I mean, some of the imagery, what we'd love to be able to do with it is use it on our website, use it in other places as well. But of course, all that gets negotiated with the people who submit the photos.
And you want us to put a little story alongside it as well?
Well, yeah, I think we're asking, is it 30 words? So not a long story next to each photo. You can enter multiple times. But what we're looking for is a story about, you know, so for example, this tree. This tree I planted when I was diagnosed with HIV, and look at it now. I never thought I'd get to see it be that tall. So, like, that sort of thing.
And you also got a great little workshop if you're a little worried about your photographic skills.
Absolutely. I mean, not everyone is handy on their handy phone. But what we do want, and what I'm really looking forward to seeing, are like, what do you call it? Not posed photos, but really photos are like everyday photos, like things that possibly people take for granted, but you find makes you feel better about being yourself.
It is called the Enough Images, Enough Voices Photographic Contest. You'll find out all of the details on Living Positive Victoria's website, and it's closing date is Wednesday the 31st of May, so get your entries in. And that workshop, if you want to go along to it, is on the 20th of May, registration online as well. Brent Allen, thank you very much for joining us.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you, Dean.
And of course, that website is livingpositivevictoria.org.au. Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice with you. This is Hide and Seek on Joy. Listen to Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice are with you. And tonight we're talking about paraphilic infantilism. It is something around adult babies. And joining us to discuss it is a man who reached out to us. Seamus, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Firstly, why did you send us an email saying, I want to talk about this?
I guess because we've got so many aspects of our sexuality, and so much of it gets profiled in the media. And I look at things like BDSM, leather, cross-dressing, drag. A lot of those get exposed in the media these days. They almost become mainstream, and I'm not trying to take away from those. But the ABDL, or adult baby or diaper lover, doesn't seem to get profiled as much. And I think there's a lot of misconception around it. I think a lot of people see it as something that's to do with pedophilia and things like that. And that's really not the case at all.
No, so it's got nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it at all. So, you know, we're just as much like the rest of the community that, you know, we're not into that, and, you know, we don't stand for that. So I guess it's about breaking down those misconceptions.
And you describe yourself as an adult baby. So what does that mean to you?
So I suppose it's more about age regression. It's about dressing up like a toddler, or wherever you see yourself. So a lot of people will sometimes see themselves from as little as 6 months old through to, you know, that point of pretending like they're not quite ready to be toilet trained yet. I guess I fit into probably somewhere in between. Yeah, I don't go for the goo-goo gaga type thing, but I still enjoy that whole idea of dressing in a diaper, having a dummy, having a bottle, having all the things that go with being like a big baby.
And Seamus, thank you. And we'll go into that. But as you said, there's adult babies and diaper lovers, and we've got a diaper lover with us this evening as well. Grayson, welcome to Hide and Seek.
Thank you for having me.
How do you define a diaper lover?
A diaper lover is just someone who gets their kicks on wearing diapers, whether that be just like the idea of like wetting them or messing them or fooling around in them or masturbating in them, but just diapers are a big part of their sexual identity.
It comes under the heading of paraphilic infantilism, which is a catch-all for both versions, but they're actually quite distinct fetishes, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you could have one without the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But can you have... So, yes, you can be...
Like you can be a DL and not an AB, or you can be an AB who doesn't wear nappies.
Right. Yes. Or you can be an ABDL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
So what is it about wearing nappies that does it for you?
For me, I just like the idea of like wetting them because like they swell up really big and that's really fun for me. Getting into like a really wet nappy is just really enjoyable. A little bit of the humiliation aspect is like multiple facets
of
ABDL. And that's one that I'm kind of into, not like my big part of it, but I know people who, like, that's the main reason why they wear them. And yeah.
And Seamus, you were nodding your head there as Grayson was talking. What is it for you?
I suppose on the one hand, it's that age regression. It's stress relief. A big part of it is being able to step outside of the parameters of everyday life.
By that, do you mean submission? Is that what you mean by stress relief? Like giving yourself over to someone of authority or a greater...
Yeah, it can be. I mean, in some ways, the diaper lover experiences that sexual aspect of it and you get that sort of that turn on.
Yeah.
Whereas with the adult baby, you get that idea of that closeness, that intimacy with someone.
Right.
So that nurturing.
Right,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Right. And I just would like to make it known, before we continue, that there can be like submissive and dominant ABs. Mm. Like, you can have, like, a dominant AB.
Right. So,
How does that work?
A dominant baby. That sounds scary.
Have you seen those kids at shopping centres who just yell and scream
at
calls?
Yeah, totally.
Just be one of those.
Andrew was one of those growing up. So, what are some of the paraphernalia that one might utilise? I mean, the first thing that came to my mind was... My mother, I think she only wore it once, had one of those harness things that, you know, puts on kids.
Oh, like
if only I had it today with a lead.
I'm sure someone could make one for you.
But is it bottles? Is it bonnets? Is it where do you get adult baby clothes?
It's really quite interesting because if you dig down beneath the adult baby and the diaper lover, you can then have aspects of what is known as like being a sissy. So, like you're saying, bonnets.
I saw that.
So you can have, you know, frilly dresses and satin lacy type things. Again, each and everyone is different in what they're into. That's not personally for me, but yeah, in terms of paraphernalia, you can have anything from, you know, bottles to bibs to dummies. And I suppose going back to when I first started, which was sort of 17, and I'm now going on 31, you look at that difference and go, well, back then there was really limited places that you could buy that kind of thing from. You had to get it all online from America or Europe, whereas now we actually have companies in Australia that are bringing those things in for us but give us that local identity. So, yeah, I mean, you've also got such a greater range of nappies available with sort of the smaller... baby prints and things on them like that to really enhance that experience.
Because you can't go to Woolies or Coles just pick up a nappy, can you?
You can get the Depends, but let's be honest, they're quite shit.
Right.
They're horrible.
Because they're not cut right?
It's a multiple of things. You wet them once and they're done.
Right.
It's just a one.
Whereas what? The adult baby ones, you can wet them 100 times? I don't know. What do you want?
So the company I like, I'm not sure if you're the same, Seamus, but the company I like is ABU.
Yep.
And like
that's enough of the plug. But
Well, it didn't mean to be a plug, but they're in like 5 liter capacity, which is different to the Depends.
Oh wow!
So yeah. So is it disposable nappies or yeah. is it a cloth nappy? The old
5 liters, again, Andrew.
Everyone's different. Everyone likes to. Yeah, personally, I'm a disposable.
So you know how you see the diaper ads on TV and they say keeps baby dry.
Yeah.
Does it? I mean, if it takes 5 liters, do you feel dry or
yeah.
That's a lot of liquid.
You can be in one for a few hours.
Do they sweat?
Depends on how hot it is.
Okay.
So as a diaper lever, Grayson, how do you perceive it to be different to piss play?
I think for me at least, the two are very linked together.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like if you're into piss play, you could very much get into the DL stuff in the heartbeat and fall in love, which is very similar to my story.
Okay.
What about, it's only a heartbeat away from scat then.
You can argue that. But yeah, I'm not into the scat side of it. I know people who are.
Yeah.
I'm not. But yeah, you can totally argue for that as well.
So it's a fairly underground sort of subculture. Is it emerging? Is it coming out of the shadows, do you think?
In some ways, I think, compared to what it used to be. And I guess social media and the internet's had a lot to do with that.
Right.
Like a lot of things, you know, way back when it used to be a really underground scene and now people are communicating more openly about it. And you're starting to see TV shows, you know, every now and then it'll creep in somewhere. There'll be a joke or there'll be something about it. And so slowly but surely people are starting to understand it. But I still think it's one of those fetishes that, unlike a lot of the other ones, that we see as a bit more mainstream. And sorry if I'm picking on leather here or something, but those are the sort of ones that seem to get more into mainstream things. We've seen it like with 50 Shades of Grey. So
on the apps, say, how do you find the community's response to ABs and DLs?
In terms of like what apps?
Well, the apps, the mobile apps.
If you say you're into it, what are people thinking?
What are people thinking? What are they saying?
But some people just blatantly call you a pedophile, which is kind of disgusting. Some people who are like, if they're into like water sports, they'll be really into it. But yeah, it just depends on person to person.
Hmm.
But I haven't had like an awful response yet.
And Seamus, for you, can you find, you know, a sense of community starting to emerge at least?
Yeah, compared to where it used to be, I think there is more and more. People, I try not to label people as either A, B or DL because everyone can be, it can be so mixed,
yep.
But definitely more and more. I've known people who host parties annually where, you know, you'll get at least 30 or 40 people show up. But again, it's not something that everyone would know about. It's still a bit of an exclusivity, but certainly compared to where it used to be, yeah, absolutely.
The fact that there is a business that is clearly operating means that there's a market for it. We're talking about paraphilic infantilism, adult babies and diaper lovers on Hide and Seek.
Hide and Seek. Wanna see you get nasty. Wanna see you shake it down, babe. N-A-S-T-Y, you nasty.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Don't forget, radiothon's coming up. We still need Joy. And tonight is one of the reasons why we still need Joy.
Very good example, Andrew.
Exactly. Because we are here to break down taboos and to tackle some stigma. And tonight we have Seamus, who identifies as an adult baby, and Grayson, who identifies as a diaper lover.
Now, gentlemen, I've got a question for you both, but we'll start with you, Seamus. Your journey to getting to a point of being comfortable with your fetish can't have been an easy one. You said you sort of, at around 17, you had inclinations in this regard. Tell me about how you got to a point of being totally okay with it and on the radio talking about it.
Well, it's really quite funny because I can remember when I was 17 not being worried that my parents were going to find dirty magazines under the bed. It was more that they were going to find my stash of Huggies. So, you know.
Wow.
And that I stole Dad's ABBA gold CD. So, you know, two things there. Hey, I'm gay, and hey, I like nappies. So, you know, it starts off there. That's probably the funny side. And then I suppose over the last 13, 14 years, there's been a lot of, I suppose, those feelings of self-loathing, feeling that it's something to be ashamed of. And whilst you try to work through that, sometimes you just can't get past it. I ended up seeking the help of a psychologist. And most recently, he basically said in a nutshell that anything that you do in terms of sexuality, and indeed in life, you know, so long as it's not bringing harm to yourself or to others, then, you know, what's the big deal? You know, and if you think about it in terms of, I suppose, we all are aware of things like drug abuse and alcohol abuse and a lot of other unfortunate things out there in society. His view was sort of, you know, well, wow, you know, you're just pretending to be a three-year-old and having a great old time doing it. What's the big deal? And I guess that was, for me, I guess, the sort of turning point that made me realise that, yeah, you know what, I'm fighting myself over this. On the one hand, I'm trying to enjoy myself, but on the other hand, I'm tearing myself apart thinking that this is wrong. And I realise that there is actually no one really judging me except myself. And it's complex. It's not as simple as that. But to bring me to where I am today, you know, 12 months ago, I never would have dreamed of anything like this.
But I think you have so eloquently put it. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, Grayson, what about your journey?
I have a lot of other kinks. And I felt like we were just adding to the collection.
Oh, okay.
Like, little bit of that, little bit of that, little bit of that. Why not?
So what, because you're quite a bit younger than Seamus,
yeah.
What got you into a point of comfort in the development of your sexuality where you could explore these kinks, including this one?
I think just like having people I know and trust being like, this is what you do, this is how you do it safely. If you don't feel comfortable, let me know and we'll go from there.
Yeah, cool. So do you remember learning about diapers in the first place?
Yeah, it was actually through Tumblr, as most people my age would say with any kid. You learn about fisting? Tumblr. You learn about water sports? Tumblr. You learn about anything? Tumblr. But I saw it on Tumblr.
And you thought, wow, that looks fun.
That looks really fun. And then I went on Recon one day, saw a guy with a nappy in his profile picture. And I'm like, hey, I've always been curious. He's like, hey, come over. I'll put you in one. And yeah,
went from there?
Yeah, head over heels ever since.
What did you search on Tumblr? So that comes up.
You just find a lot of porn blogs.
Okay.
Like, one thing can go from another on Tumblr. You can just go from, like, cat videos to double fisting.
And you mean that in a non-sexual sense?
Exactly. No, of course not. Of course not.
Well, it's a different world, Andrew.
It's a different world. Very different world.
Back in my day. It doesn't matter about back in my day. It doesn't matter about
it's my day now.
Yeah. And thank God for that.
Yeah.
I mean, now, you're, what happens when you... how do you reveal this to people? I mean, how do you enroll people in your fantasy? How do you share this?
Well, one thing I found quite interesting is when I decided that I'd found a partner that I wanted to share it with, because it certainly can be a deal breaker with relationships.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, some people can handle you being into lots of different things. But
apparently,
this
not
be...
everyone's into fisting. I mean,
exactly.
I don't get it either.
Yeah,
no way.
But I can remember having a conversation with the partner that I then told one night, saying, you know, and he said to me at the end of the phone, you know, it'll be fine, it'll be great, so long as you're just not into wearing adult nappies. And I'm looking over to my closet going, no, I'm not into that, not at all.
Slam.
I have to go now, and then racing to the rubbish bin to dump it all in the bin. So I guess the closest thing I can put it to it is almost like coming out again.
Yeah,
you are revealing a side of you that you don't want everyone to know about, that you need to trust the person that you're telling, and that they will be receptive to it. You like coming out. You don't know what that other person's reaction is going to be, but you trust your instincts. So, and I guess over time, you build yourself that little community of friends or people that you feel close enough to that you can tell that they trust you, they understand it. They might not be into it, but you know, for them it's like, hey, that's fine, whatever you're into. So,
and Grayson, you've been to parties, is that right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Like the nappy parties and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fun. Like, sometimes it's just like a lot of booze and a jumping castle. That's always fun.
Right.
Yeah. Don't recommend it, but it happens. But yeah, it's just some people like to be little.
Are these private parties or are they at venues?
Private parties. Right. Yes, okay. Yes. Right. Yeah. But yeah, and then you have like other ones where you just like hang it out with people just as you would, but like everyone's wearing a nappy and no one has to go to the toilet for 3 hours.
Wow. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Do you have trouble sharing this with people?
It depends on who. Like, I don't share it with, like, everyone. But the people I have shared it with, they've done really receptive well. If they're like, hey, that's not for me, I'm like, that's cool. But some people have gotten really into it and have become curious themselves.
Right.
Seamus, is there, for somebody, a sort of a staged process through the fetish, you know, usually it might start with nappies, but then it sort of progresses, or is it just, you know, how does it work in that sort of sense, I guess?
It can be different for everyone, but my experience was that I identified originally as a diaper lover.
Yep.
I felt a great sexual urge to wear them, and I found great sexual pleasure in them. Still do, but over time, I guess you just explore, and your own sense of self begins to sort of be curious about things. And I mean, I'm into other fetishes as well, and it's the same thing. You start to work out what does or doesn't work for you.
And yeah. For you, is it a case of, let's inverted commas, vanilla sex? Does vanilla sex still, inverted commas, work? Or is it a case that you know, fetish sex is sort of the primary sexual play?
It does become difficult trying to then sort of go back to vanilla sex, because once you've had a taste of something and you really, really like it, vanilla just seems just that. But I think what I can find is that there is a great intimacy in being changed by your partner, and that in itself in some ways is quite vanilla.
So is it a lifestyle for you, or is it something that sort of happens on a Saturday night?
Yeah, it's more of a Saturday night thing. Yeah. I mean, I know people who do it 24/7, and good on them if they can do it. But I think for me, there's still work, there's still friends, there's still family, there's just life. But in some ways, I think that's what makes it all more special. Like when it's a Saturday night thing, you've worked hard all week or whatever it might be, and then, wow, you really let your hair down and you go to town.
And Grayson, for you, is it the diapers just for a Saturday night?
Yeah, for me, it's like a Saturday night. I can still do vanilla stuff as well, but if I'm in a nappy, it's just because I want to cool down and relax. Or maybe I'm going to the movies.
I'll give you a bit of a history lesson, Andrew.
Yep.
The first public event for adult babies was Baby Week, occurring in San Francisco in the early 1990s. Subsequently, the internet went gangbusters, and a major forum with numerous websites offering books and magazines and audio and videotapes were relating to the paraphernalia, as well as a 24-hour hotline emerged. Paraphilic infantilism has appeared as an alternative lifestyle in numerous Western countries, including England, Germany, and good old Aussie.
There we go.
There you go. So it's gone international.
Yep.
And it seems relatively new. It says, you know, the first major event was in the 1990s. Yeah. I'm sure there's a history that goes back beyond that.
I've spoken to people who've been wearing since like the early to mid 80s. So it's gone back further than that. That wouldn't be like the first big event, but there still would have been people on the outliers doing it for a lot longer than that.
We are with Grayson and Seamus. We're talking about paraphilic infantilism on Hide and Seek. Dean Beck and Andrew the Apprentice are with you tonight.
I'm on fire. Hide and Seek.
Fire it all.
Hide and Seek's a classic joy program now, Andrew, I see.
Yes, well, we've been around for 8 years now.
I guess we are.
So that's a classic for joy.
We're talking about paraphilic infantilism. infantilism. It's adult babies and people that like to wear diapers. Seamus and Grayson are our guests tonight.
Yeah.
And Seamus, how have you managed to build a network of, I guess, understanding friends in this space?
Well, back when I started, oh gosh, this is showing my age. MSN Messenger was the the outreach of choice.
Early adopter.
Yeah. Yes. So it sort of evolved from there, and I suppose I've got a very intimate circle of really only probably a handful of friends.
Sure.
I don't have a great explosion of friends that are into this, but I think that's where you find your niche.
Yeah, yeah.
Of people that you be with. And some of my friends are DLs and others are ABs. So it takes time, and I suppose we each have our own interesting personalities. So, I mean, in some cases, because I'm into other fetishes, that alienates me from some who are just purely AB or just into DL. Yeah. So,
do you take on board like a caricature? Is there a personality, childlike personality, or do you know what I mean?
In some ways you can. Yeah. I mean, I find that I probably regress to about the age of 3 or 4. Someone who's not yet ready to be toilet trained. You know, potty is the bad word. And so is toilet training. But wants to communicate. So has the ability to communicate with others. And that's where everyone can be different. They like to...
And some are non-communicative.
Yeah.
Communicative. Yeah, of course. Gaga.
Do you ever envisage the time?
You try saying that.
Can you ever see the time when, you know, a venue in Melbourne it has a adult baby night?
Oh, look, you know, we've seen it with places like the Laird. They do theme nights. Mm. I would love to see someone do something like that.
Better like a nightmare at a crèche.
They do pubs. That's like a step below.
And pubs are only, as we've said on this program numerous times, pubs are only a few years old, really.
Yeah.
You know, yes, they've been around, but pubs have really exploded.
Pubs are really new.
Onto the scene over the last couple of years.
And they keep tearing up sofas.
They do.
Mm. And peeing on everything. At least we don't only pee on ourselves.
Oh, look out. We've got a pup versus babies and diaper war.
This could get...
I just need to say that there is, like, pups who wear nappies. I know a few pups who wear nappies. And there's, like, fairies who wear nappies too. So they...
Oh, I see. Okay. So that's sort of taking the diaper lover thing... Plus a level.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like cross fetishes.
Yeah, there's like, you can get like a Venn diagram of fetishes.
It's described as a cross-dressing thing. Oh, well, I guess any form of leather as dress-ups or, exactly, you know, dress-ups as dress-ups. Yeah. Wearing a suit as a dress-up. So do you see it as cross-dressing in that sense?
I suppose I prescribe to the old, like the idea of cross-dressing to me is actually changing genders identifying through clothing. So, and again, that can be done through the ABDL thing. Like I said before, you could do sissy role play where you wear a nappy underneath a frilly lacy dress or something. So
it's listed as a disorder, a dysphoria,
really?
In the, you know, Bible of whatever it is, the DSM-5, whatever it is. Do you see it as that? I guess all fetishes then could be listed as that, but do you identify it as a fetish or as a?
I see it as a way of life. It's a lifestyle. If you take away from the fact that it isn't, if I come back to that idea of it's not harming myself or others, and it's pure fun and enjoyment, you only get one opportunity in this life. I don't see what the difference is between me wearing a nappy and someone who everyone has a vice. So some people, it's...
Yeah, but a vice means a negative connotation.
Yes, true. So I don't see this as a negative connotation.
Sure.
But that's the thing. Some people enjoy, you know, cigarettes or drinking or other forms of enjoyment. I don't
or
see
Or playing golf on the weekends.
Exactly. Yeah. So...
Sure. I don't know whether it's quite the same as golf, Andrew, but there is the odd hole in one. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
Grayson, how do you see this? How do you see... you've got a long line of fetishes, so I guess it's just added to the list, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Just like if you're calling like the paraphilic, in, paralytic infallicism.
It's not paralytic.
Not paralytic.
Oh, paraphilic.
Paraphilic infantilism. And like,
so paralytic infantilism is something completely.
Wow, I can't believe. Jesus Christ. But if you're calling that a fetish, then you're calling that like a disorder. You have to call like wearing rubber a disorder, or call it wearing leather a disorder, or getting fisted a disorder. Like, it's either there's some, I wouldn't even call them fetishes, but there's like some stuff that's
Where does dominance and submission come into play for you in this realm? Or does it?
Very rarely. Like, sometimes I like to be like a little bit humiliated. Like, if I'm at a group and I'm wearing one, maybe have someone point it out. But that's about it.
Yeah,
like,
right.
But for this, it's just like not really like dominant or submissive for me.
Which is probably a difference, as you said before, to the piss scene, which often the piss is from one person to another.
Yeah.
Whereas this is more for yourself.
Yeah. But I've also had like guys want to piss in my nappies.
Okay.
Which is interesting. And I'm like, well, I can give you one later. I'll draw the piss in yours.
Andrew, I note in a study in the US that the majority of proponents of this were heterosexual males.
Right.
Or lesbian females.
Okay. That's... Seamus, does this ring true to you at all?
I find it's more gay men.
Right.
Than women. I mean, I don't know whether I'm hanging in the wrong circles or something, but everyone that I've known, or that seems the majority... that I've found so far are more men. And I shouldn't say just gay men. I mean, just men in general.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, they certainly were. But of the women, the majority were lesbians.
I was going to say, like, nearly all the female ABDLs I know are all straight.
Right.
But I will also say that I don't know a single couple that the woman is, like, the carer and the male is, like, the ABDL. I only know relationships where it's male carer, female ABDL.
So, carer, that's a term that we've just come across. This is the adult or the older looking
can
after
be
person.
Older, can be younger. It's just
the person who doesn't do the ABDL.
And you can have big brother, daddy, uncle. Everyone has their preference.
Yeah.
You know, my partner is my daddy, so...
And we should we kicked off the show and we've mentioned it a couple of times, but we just should reiterate, though, that this has got absolutely nothing at all to do with pedophilia.
Oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. No. And that is just, completely different area.
Well, yes. This is about adults wanting to be babies or wear diapers. Simple and as pure as that.
Exactly, yeah.
Seamus, I want to say thank you for bringing to our attention something that otherwise we wouldn't have had the opportunity to discuss, and it's important that we have been able to have that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And Grayson, thank you for joining us to share your insights as well. It's
thank you.
Delightful and remarkable, and may you enjoy your fetishes forever and a day.
Thank you so much.
Dean Beck and Andrew, The Apprentice with you. This is Hide and Seek on Joy.
Feel like you're going under?
Are you having difficulties with drinking too much, or has partying got out of control?
Has your drug use been escalating and causing problems for you? Have you tried to stop or change your use but can't seem to manage?
If you want some professional help, then give VAC a call.
At VAC, we provide free drug and alcohol counselling services for the LGBTI community. Please call 1800 906 669 to find out more.
Joy is proud to support this announcement for VAC.
Well, Andrew the Apprentice, that's about it for us and our exploration into all things adult baby.
Big thank you to Seamus, who, as we said at the top of the show, emailed us at hideandseek@joy.org.au.
And if you've got a fetish that we haven't covered, we would love to hear from you.
Yes, I'll just read out the first little bit he wrote. Firstly, let me commend the work of Joy in providing the LGBTIQ community with a voice whilst sharing knowledge and information that inspires us to be the best we can be.
I think we might read that out again during our radiothon,
That's
Andrew.
Right. It's only a couple of weeks away. We Still Need Joy is the theme this year, and tonight has been a great example of why we still need joy.
And we need you to dig deep and give to Joy to keep us on air. A reminder that the Enough Images, Enough Voices competition is on now. That concludes. So you've got to get your entries in by the 31st of May, and you could win $1,000. So head to livingpositivevictoria.org.au. That's it from us.
It is. Coming up next is Declan with Indie Heads.
I'm Dean Beck. Catch you again next time.
And we'll see you shortly.
Bye.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.